Could I ask that maybe just to take a step back, Kathy, and to have you talk a little bit about your vision, maybe the way you explain to fellows of how endocrine therapy actually works in breast cancer, how the different endocrine treatments cause responses, and then why you see resistance developing after, many patients do respond.
So I can tackle the first part of that. So I think this is actually an important thing for us all to remember, and it's actually something we talked about with this particular patient. I certainly did not see this one with any of Dr. Agarwal's patients, but I think we sometimes are still guilty of telling patients whose tumors progressed on their first hormone therapy that they're now resistant to endocrine therapy and they need to move on to chemo. And we have many different hormone therapies with very different mechanisms of action. So we should not consider that resistance to hormone therapy. We should consider that resistance to a specific drug and a specific mechanism of action. So the simple way that I often explain the differences in the mechanism of action to patients and to medical students is that if you imagine somebody has a hose and they're spraying water on you and you want to not get wet, you could put on a rain hat and a raincoat and galoshes. That's sort of the tamoxifen approach. It's still raining, but you're not getting wet. You could think about turning off the water or turning down the water. That would be something like an aromatase inhibitor that blocks the flow of estrogen or blocks production of estrogen. Fulvestrant, in some ways, is a little bit like a super raincoat. We put you in a plastic bag in addition to your raincoat because it more fully blocks the effects of estrogen. And trying to explain in that analogy how things like megestrol works doesn't work very well. So I haven't figured out how to fit that into the analogy. But they're all effective and they can be effective sequentially. Talking about resistance also gets a little bit tricky because we found many ways that tumors can become resistant. This is easier to study in the laboratory than it is in patients. So we've talked a bit about the estrogen receptor activating mutations. Essentially, the receptor is continuously signaling whether estrogen is present or not. But we also know that sometimes tumors might increase the expression of other growth factors. They have found another way to drive growth forward, even if the estrogen receptor signaling is attenuated. And those tumors might be the ones that more likely benefit from an mTOR inhibitor, since that is such a common pathway for other growth factor signaling effects.